This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
I just want to tell you, as I start off today's talk, I don't know about you, I think most of you are, but I really am, at heart, I'm a Christmas fanatic. I love everything about the season. I think it's great, some of the events we've had, and we had the kids sing last week on stage, the preschoolers, and we had a communion night Friday night, and watching the little kids come in their best look dresses and dressed up, I'm just like, oh man, I just love it. I love that part. I love the food. I love the sweets. I love the decorations. I love all the things that come with Christmas, but one of my favorite things about Christmas, come on, we all know, is the gifts, right? Like, let's just be honest, right? It's about the gift. I am a gifts guy. Like, not giving them, getting them, all right? So I love the gifts that come with Christmas, everything about it. Like, and I remember growing up, everything was about the gifts. And I'm from a bigger family, a lot of brothers and sisters. And so Christmas was big at our house. And I remember Christmas Eve when the presents would come out, it literally looked like the tree just threw up gifts, right? And they were just everywhere, all over the floor, it exploded there. And I don't know if you guys remember that as a kid, if you can think back to it, but yeah, for me, I wasn't thinking about gifts just in December. Like, I was thinking about gifts like in June and September. Like, I would see something in the store and I'd say to my mom, I'd say, Mom, I want that for Christmas. And she'd be like, Heath, it's June. And I'm like, it's all right, add it to the list. I want that at Christmas. And I don't know if you remember this. My kids would get the Toys R Us catalog. Some of you are like, what is Toys R Us? Never heard of it. And that's when we know you're under 20. And how many of you know, like, the Toys R Us catalog? You know, God bless Toys R Us. Rest in peace. And but my kids would get that catalog, and they would circle everything they wanted for Christmas. They would sit in the back seat of the car and go through it bit by bit, circle everything they wanted for Christmas. The problem was they circled everything. It's like everything was circled. I'm like, how do we get everything? And it was great. And my parents, like you, many of you, they would hide the presents away from us all year long. And I would make it my mission to sneak and find where those presents were hidden. It made Christmas Day boring when I opened them, but it was fun to find them. I still do that today. I look for them and try to find them. Anybody else that person? Come on, you know who I am. I just kind of have those things still inside of me about Christmas. I get a little excited to see my name on a gift and wonder what's shaking it and how many, and seeing how heavy, the heavier are, the more expensive it is, right? So seeing how heavy it was, and I'm not really always a clothes guy. I like toys for Christmas, even at my age, man. I'm like, I'm looking forward to see what Kim bought me. What toys did you buy me this year for Christmas? And we all had those moments. It's just great, gift giving. In fact, I also know this, that there are two different types of people that open gifts. And the first ones are the devour people. I call them the devour people. You know who I'm talking about? Like, there's the ones that open gifts that just rip the paper off, like, just violently, all right? How many of those? Who's my devour gift openers? I'm one of them, all right? Come on. Then there's the other group. And you're the ones I don't understand, that you're like, I'm going to save this paper and reuse it again. And so they, you know what I'm saying? Like, hurry up, open the present. They're like taking little bit by bit. Where are you at? Where's my like really soft openers? All right, you're in here. And the bow is so pretty. I'm going to save it. Like, that's weird. Okay, just throw it out. All right, that's what trash is for. So, and I want to help some of us this morning on Christmas, because like you can always tell, I'm going to help you, because you can always tell when someone doesn't like the gift that they gave you for Christmas, right? Like, you know how it is. Like, you're like, oh, look at here. Whoops, let me get that. Socks. You know what I'm saying? Like, Christmas socks. These are great. And you can always tell, because the first thing they're going to say is, wow. If they say wow, you didn't do good, right? Or like, here's another helpful hint. All right, you get the Christmas gift. Here's how it can help you if they don't like it. The more they describe it and talk about it, they don't like it. Wow, they're green. Oh, cool, they got little shiny things on them. Look at the star on it. That's really nice. Yeah, that's great. They don't like it. Or like, if they're like, wow, they're Christmassy. That's cool. Like, Christmas is almost over. I can't even wear them. Wow. Those are those helpful hints, like, do they like your gift or not? And gifts come in all shapes and sizes, as you know, like, and in our world today, gifts come and gifts go, as you know, like you might get a shirt or some clothes and it's going to wear out, it's going to go out of style, maybe you get a pair of shoes and they're going to get dirty and they're going to wear down, or maybe you get an electronic and eventually it's going to die. And gifts come and go, and gifts are such a big part of Christmas. And I'm not anti-gift. I love gifts. I actually believe that Christmas should be and is all about gifts. Because at the very beginning, we know the reason we give gifts to each other. And it's simply because we are modeling that our Father in heaven did the same thing for us. Like where the Bible actually says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Like, he's the model of giving really good gifts. And we give gifts at Christmas because God gave us a gift because he loved us so much. So I want to talk to you today. What I want to talk about is not about a bad gift or that one that you get that wears out or a gift that fades or goes away, but I want to talk to you about a really, really good gift. A really, really good gift. I want to talk about a gift that you might not even have experienced yet, or maybe one that you have experienced and you don't even realize it. Because I believe that to have a Jesus-focused Christmas, it comes with you and I understanding the gift of Jesus. You got to understand the gift of Jesus. Like, what does it mean to experience the gift of Jesus? And you know, we hear that name Jesus all throughout our lives and all throughout this season, and you probably have like many different ideas and things come to your mind when you hear the name Jesus. Like, maybe teacher comes to your mind, maybe miracle worker comes to your mind, maybe hippie hair and praying hands comes to your mind, like maybe a man with a sheep draped over his shoulder. No matter what, all these emotions and thoughts come to our mind when we hear this name of Jesus. It develops different pictures for us. But I want to clear the air this morning. And what does it mean to experience the gift of Jesus this Christmas? And I don't want to give you Heath's opinion on who Jesus is. I want to give you what the Bible says about who Jesus is. And this is a passage that clears the air that I want to break down to you simply this morning. And it was actually written 700 years before Jesus even came on the scene. 700 years before Jesus showed up on Christmas Day, there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah. And he speaks and gives us a clear picture of who Jesus is. It's a familiar scripture, but it's found in Isaiah chapter 9. And you've heard it all throughout Christmas, but this is what it says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And I'm so thankful that my God is bigger than any government, any political system. All the world that thinks they're in control reminds us that God is in control. He has all things on his shoulders. And it goes on and it says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Like, this is the description of who Jesus is. So I thought for just a few minutes this morning, as we lead up to the Christmas day, just a few days, that I would get us to a place where we don't just admire the gift of Jesus, but that we open the gift of Jesus together. And let us see what happens when you experience the gift of Jesus. So he opens it and he starts it out. He says the gift of Jesus is, he calls him a Wonderful Counselor. Like, this gift, this wonderful, wonderful, the prophet describes him this way, the Wonderful Counselor. And I love this because I want you to understand when we hear that word wonderful counselor, what does that really mean? Like you've heard the Christmas passage your whole lives, but what does it mean when he describes Jesus, the gift of Jesus, as a wonderful, wonderful counselor? And here's what it simply means. It simply means that you and I, we can confide in Jesus and trust his direction. That's what makes him a wonderful counselor, that you can confide in him and you can trust his direction. And we need to understand this today because our world is full of people who have lots of input on your direction. Lots of input. Everybody's vying for your attention to tell you what you should do, what you should think, and where you should go. And many of us, even here today, we are needing some direction. Direction for a decision you're facing, direction for a diagnosis you've been given, direction for a relationship, direction for a family member. And where do we typically go to get all the direction we need? We go to the helpline called friends. We go to the helpline called family or coworkers. We go to all these other places looking for direction. And many times, not all time, but many times, those directions and those opinions lead us astray. I remember being a youth pastor as one of my first positions, and I was a youth pastor, and I just wanted to relate to my students. Like I wanted the youth to think I was cool, and I wanted all those things. So someone told me, I was like, what do I got to do to be relatable? What do I got to think to make them to think I'm cool? And I remember someone giving me advice and said, you know what you need to do, Pastor? You need to bleach your hair. You need to bleach your hair. I'm like, that'll make me cool? They're like, yeah, it'll make you cool if you bleach your hair. I'm like, all right, I'll bleach my hair. And I went to my wife's salon because the barber doesn't do that. And I remember the first thing to do, they sat down in this chair and she put a shower cap on my head. I'm like, what is going on right now? And then they're taking this little pointy thing and like poking hose and pulling pieces of hair out till I looked like I had all these little hairs sticking out of this thing. And then they took bleach and they blonded all these tips of my hair. So when I was done, I had these blonde tips just poking up out of my hair. True story. I mean, it was coming out everywhere like these blonde spikes. Like, want to see a picture? No, you're not going to see a picture. Heck no. Yeah, you thought I was going to see a picture. I refused. We burned them. I looked foolish. It was terrible advice that I followed, right? The problem is like we listen to people who may have some really good opinions. We listen to people who have really good opinions, right? But here's what I've realized. Here's the reality is people have opinions, but our God is a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful, wonderful counselor. Proverbs reminds us this. You know, people have opinions, but God's our one. And Proverbs reminds us of it. He says this, for the Lord gives wisdom. Like from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Like you get opinions from people, but you get wisdom from God. And God is the one who can guide you. He is the one that can move you onto a path of the potential that you have for your life. It's from his mouth comes knowledge. It's from his mouth comes understanding. And listen, you may be distracted this season, and there's a lot of reasons to be distracted. You may be confused going into 2025, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Life may seem really foggy to you, but I just believe this. Going into 2025, for all of you in here, I want you to open up the gift of Jesus, that you have a wonderful counselor who cares for you, who loves you, who will guide your life. But how many of you know it doesn't end there? The gift keeps on giving, right? Because the Bible goes on to tell us, the prophet goes on and he writes and he says, he gives us this description of this wonderful Jesus and he calls him Mighty God. He says, this gift that you get this wonderful thing called a mighty, mighty God. Now, he's also a mighty God. And what does that mean for us? Because we have this gift of Jesus as this mighty God and some of us think, well, that must mean he's like super strong and he's powerful and well, he's mighty and he's tall and he's handsome. And, you know, we throw all these adjectives to what it means to be a mighty God. But I broke it down. I think the prophet knew this about this gift of Jesus that was coming. And what it simply means when he calls him a mighty God is simply this, that nothing is too difficult for Jesus. Nothing is too difficult for Jesus. Nothing. And some of us are facing battles, and some of us have things in our lives that are overwhelming us because you've come to the end and you just said, I just can't do this anymore. But hear me this morning. Here's the gift of Jesus, that just because you might be at your end doesn't mean the end is impossible. It doesn't mean it's impossible, because our mighty God can do more than you and I could possibly imagine. That's the gift of Jesus. That's why he's a mighty God. I have, in case you don't know, most of you know this, but we have two kids, a girl and a boy, and they're about almost 7 years apart. And the reason for that is that when it came time to have kid number two, or to talk about kid number two, I was against it. Mainly because kid number one was so good. And I just knew kid number two would be rotten. And I was like, why ruin a good thing? Like, it's perfect. Why mess it up? And my wife was like, no, we need another kid, right? And she got morbid on me, like, we're going to die one day, you know? And, like, she'd be all by herself. She'd have no family. And I'm like, okay. But then I asked her, could you guarantee it'll be a boy? Can you guarantee me if we have a kid number two, it'll be a boy? And she's lied to me, and she said, yes. And the good news was, we did have a boy, right? And I loved it when he was younger, because like everything was larger than life to him. And if you had a boy, maybe you know this. Like he loved everything. He loved and he believed in superheroes, and they were real, and Batman's coming, and you know, all these wonderful things. And yet he also had this really crazy idea that I was the biggest thing out there, that I was the strongest and the toughest and the fastest. And I liked it. And I planted that seed. Yeah, you're right, son. I am. Don't forget handsome, too. And so true story, we were at this place. I don't remember where we were at, but we're standing in line with all these other people. And Braden's standing in front of me, and he said this out loud and pointing to the guy right in front of us. And he goes, Dad, I think you're faster and stronger than that guy. Then he's like, out loud, you could beat him up. I'm like, shut up. Gosh, kid, be quiet, you know? And I remember the guy turns around, and I'm like, I'm sorry. It's true, but I'm sorry. I can beat you up. But eventually, like, my son, he outgrew this idea, that I don't know everything, that I can't do everything, because he got old enough and experienced enough to know that we all have our weaknesses. Like, we're all broken. And let's just be real this morning. We've all had those times when sickness has overcome us, where stress overwhelms us, where the pressures of life, the depression and the anxiety just become so real. And so many times, it just feels out of control. But here's what we need to be encouraged today about the gift of Jesus. Get this morning. The thing that might limit you does not limit our Jesus. The thing that might limit you doesn't limit our Jesus. And I know we're really good at putting a cap on what is possible. We're really good at that. But Jesus himself reminded us something when he said in the Gospel of Luke, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So he is able to do more than you and I can possibly imagine. We've got to understand this about this gift of this mighty, mighty God. Get this morning. If you're taking notes, this is important. Jesus has the power to overcome whatever is overcoming you. That's what makes him a mighty God. He can overcome whatever is overcoming you. And I would encourage some of you today that feel like 2024 has just beaten you up. And as this year closes out, you feel like, man, I am just under so much pressure. Will it ever, ever get better for me? Can I remind you about the gift of Jesus this morning? That he is a mighty God, meaning that he is bigger than cancer. He is bigger than your personal and relational challenges. He is bigger than your bank account. He is bigger than all those things, because the gift is he is a mighty God. He's a mighty God, and he deserves our praise and our worship because of it. But how many of you know there's more? Sound like an infomercial, right? That's not it. There's more. Because the Bible tells us, right, it goes on and says, not only is he a wonderful counselor, not only is he a mighty God, but then it tells us this one phrase, that he is an everlasting father. The gift of Jesus is the fact that he is an everlasting father. And it's so interesting, right? Because if you've been around church for a while, you've maybe heard this big phrase, we call it the Trinity, which represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that in the Trinity, in the three, all the same, one God, three distinct personalities, but we know that Jesus is the Son, but Isaiah also describes him as the Father. And what does this mean for us? Because we see this all the time, where, oh, everlasting Father, what a great phrase, I love it, love. But what does it really mean? And I want to break it down for you quickly. When we think of everlasting, like everlasting to me just means ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. It means that there is no end. And Father is just really simple. It just means Dad. And so when I think of that, he's someone who's going to provide for us and care for us. So what is the definition of an everlasting Father? Well, here's the gift for you this morning. Jesus is your forever Father. He is your forever Father. And some of us at Christmas, man, we really have a hard time grasping this because of either the Father that you didn't have, or maybe the Father that you did have, but it's no longer with you. And there's this aching in our hearts, and there's this frustration in life because of what we've experienced with our earthly dads. So when we hear about the idea of an everlasting Father, it can stir different emotions, both good and bad, and all in between emotions inside of us. But for Jesus, it just simply means for us that God is involved in your life in such a way that he wants to help you. He wants to encourage you because because you are his son or you are his daughter. And the Bible makes it clear. It tells us that he's never going to leave us. He's that type of dad, that he doesn't leave you and that he doesn't forsake you. In fact, one of my favorite parts of the scriptures reminds us that Jesus Christ, this everlasting Father, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He just doesn't change. That is such good news for us today. You don't have to wake up and wonder, is God in a good mood today? You don't have to wake up and go, well, you know, maybe God is on a low this morning. Maybe God is on a high this morning. You know what? He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And some of us push back the gift of Jesus because, you know, we just had some really bad examples in our lives. Some really bad examples of caring. Some really bad examples of a father. Some really bad examples of a church. But he's the Father that never leaves you. He's the Father that genuinely cares about every detail of your life. He is such a good Father. In fact, he talks about himself when he's talking to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus gives this analogy. And he says this. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? You know what he's referring to is that, in other words, he's saying, you know what? Birds are cheap. They don't cost very much. They're not worth very much in our society. They're not, I mean, you could buy a couple of them for a penny. That's how low they actually are. And yet Jesus goes on to say, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. So like, even though they might be cheap, even though they might be cheap to the world and those who sell them and own them, they still really matter to me. He goes on and says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And I even started thinking about that. I said, you know, Christian Life Center, I love you, but I'm not going to take the time to count the hairs on your head. All right? Some of you may be a little easier than others, but I'm not going to do it. Like, and you know what? You love your kids, but I don't know if one of you in here ever sat down and said, I'm going to count the very hairs of every hair that's on the head of my kids. If you do, bless you. But that's what Jesus does. Like, God loves us so much that he cares about every detail of your life. And then he goes on and he says this, and this is for somebody in the room today. As you go into 2025, Jesus says to them, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are worth more than many sparrows. And that's a word for some of you. Like, I know you may feel worthless, maybe feel devalued. Circumstances in your life make you feel worthless. Maybe it's even been said over your life that you are worthless. But no matter how devalued you may feel, no matter how devalued you may believe, let me tell you what you are worth this morning. You are worth what someone is willing to pay for you. You're worth what someone's willing to pay for you. So what was someone willing to pay for you this morning, Christian Life Center? The God of the universe says, I'll tell you how much you're worth. I'll tell you the value you have. You are worth my very son. You are worth the gift of my son coming to the earth and dying on a cross for you. You have incredible value. And because he's a good father, he sees that value in each and every one of us. It's the gift. It's the gift of an everlasting father that loves you. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God, and he's an everlasting father. But how many of you know it doesn't end there? He has one more thing to add to this awesome gift of Jesus. He calls him, the prophet calls him, the Prince of Peace. He calls him the Prince of Peace. Now, I don't know about you, sometimes looking at this year that we just went through, I'm like, I don't know, that's anything but peace. It's been a little chaotic, right? And I even said to God when I was putting this sermon together, I'm like, God, did you remember this one? Do I need to remind you that you're the Prince of Peace? I think you might have forgot that one. But the problem is we have our own meaning for Prince of Peace. Like we think, well, this is what the Prince of Peace should look like. It means the world should just be happy. The world should just be full of peace. Like, we should have peace in our government. We should have peace in our politics. We should have peace in our world because, well, you're the Prince of Peace. Like, we want to remind him, hey, it says here that, you know, you came as Prince of Peace, so there should just be peace everywhere. And church, I'm just here to tell you, that's not what this means. That's not what this meant. Like, and if we think that's what that means, then we're missing the whole meaning of the Prince of Peace. Here's what the Prince of Peace actually means. It means this, the gift of Jesus, that Jesus can provide peace within you no matter what is going on around you. He provides peace within you no matter what's going on around you. Like, he's the gift because he can provide peace within you no matter the chaos and the confusion that's going around you in your world today. And let's just be real. Some of us will go through some craziness. Some of us are currently going through some confusion and some craziness. And I just want to invite you to experience the gift of Jesus this Christmas, which is a gift that means you can have peace in your life. Jesus himself said it this way in the Gospel of John. He says, and I have told you these things. Get this, right? So that in me, you may have peace. In this world, he says, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So here's the context of this verse. The context of this verse is simply this. Jesus is talking about the end times. That's the context. Like, the struggles that will come leading up to the end times. And I don't know about you, I read that. This is not one of those verses that I read and I'm like, I just want to name and claim that over my life. Like, God, just give me troubles. I want as many troubles as you want to give me. If that's your prayer, man, you need to be up here and I need to be down there. Like, just give me as many troubles as you want. Like, none of us want that. Like, how many of you know the reality is that we're going to have trouble. Like, that's the reality of life. Life is filled with trouble and heartache. But Jesus says to us, take heart. Take heart because I have overcome the world. And this is really good news. Like, this is the gift of Jesus, that no matter what's going on around you, you can have peace within you because of the gift of Jesus. Amen? You could still have peace no matter what you're facing. Many of you have heard the biography and the story of a famous lady by the name of Helen Keller. And if you know her story, it's an incredible story. And yet, what I've learned about Helen Keller is that she wasn't born with disabilities. Like, it wasn't until like 19 months into her life that she got a sickness. And because of that sickness, she became deaf. She became blind and was unable to speak. Just a terrible lot in life. And at that point in history, it's very difficult. Like, what do we do now? And so her family hired a teacher by the name of Ann Sullivan. And she was to come. And she was supposed to teach and help Helen Keller developed the skills that it takes to live in spite of her disabilities. And they learned early on, like in her life, that as a child, she was quite unruly, and then she was rough, and she was just a difficult child. And yet Ann Sullivan, this tutor, stayed and was committed to her and was able to help her and teach her the life skills that she needed, even to the point of how to communicate. And Helen Keller went on to do some really incredible things with her life. She ended up being an amazing advocate for those with disabilities. And what I love about her life is there's a segment where she talks about the idea of how many times in life we think we deserve better than what was handed to us. Like we deserve better than what was handed to us in life. In fact, we go through this, we face this all the time, even our own selves. Like I deserve better than the failed relationship. I deserve better than this diagnosis. I deserve better than the life that I have currently. I deserve better than how I'm being treated in my workplace, at home, or in wherever you may be. I deserve better than the struggle that I'm in. But what she realized in life is that sometimes things that are not going to make sense happen to us. They just don't make sense. But she said something so brilliantly, and it was actually a play off a very famous scripture. And this is what she said. She says, I don't just want the peace that passes understanding. She said, I want the understanding that brings peace. I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. I don't just want the peace that passes all understanding. I want the understanding that brings peace. Think about that. And we pray this all the time. God, oh, bring me peace. Bring me peace that just passes all understanding. And you know what? It's not a bad prayer. It's a good prayer. But sometimes we need to just simply pray, God, give me understanding that always is going to bring me peace. Maybe just give me understanding that's going to bring peace. Hear me, church. You want to know what that understanding is? Do you want to know what the understanding is that'll bring peace into your life? Hear what it is. It's the gift of Jesus. It's the gift of Jesus. That's what brings it into your life. The fact that he is a wonderful counselor. The fact that he is a mighty God that can do the impossible. The fact that he is an everlasting father, that he's not going to leave you or forsake you. The fact that he has the ability to bring peace into your life no matter what chaos is happening in your life. It's understanding this morning that he is God, that Jesus is with us, that Jesus is on your side, that Jesus is turning all things together for the good. It's understanding that if Jesus is for you, that nothing can be against you. Nothing can be against you. And we can be encouraged today and have peace because we have an understanding of the gift of Jesus, and understanding that gift that's in our life brings peace. And as we close today, guess what? It's Christmas time. Just a matter of a few days, you know, you're going to be exchanging some gifts with one another because you love them and you care for them. And I think about that today, and I'm like, you know, you and I have an option this morning. We can look at the gift from afar and say, man, look at that gift. Man, that's an amazing gift. Look at all the things that that gift offers me. Man, it's really packaged together. Pastor, you did a great job wrapping these gifts. It's really pretty. I didn't wrap it, by the way. But look at these gifts. I mean, it's amazing. He's a mighty God. He's a wonderful counselor. Oh, my gosh, look at this gift. He's an everlasting father. He's a prince of peace. What amazing. I just admire that gift. It's awesome. But I want to encourage you today as we sit here and we think about it, that it's not just a gift that's to be admired from afar. It's Christmas time, and everyone thinks, well, this is the gift that should happen, and Jesus is here, and we went in a manger, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And what I've realized in our world today is that we do a really good job at admiring the gift of Jesus. We do a really good job at admiring it. Man, it's a really cool gift. But I wonder what would happen if we actually, instead of admiring, just sitting looking at it from afar, but we actually received the gift of Jesus in our life. My challenge for you this Christmas is to go to the next step beyond admiring Jesus to now receiving him in your life. Now taking him into your world. Like taking him into your habits and into your decisions. Like taking him into your workplace and into your family place and into your school and wherever it is that you go, you take the gift with you. Like bringing him into your actions and your speech. We don't just admire the gift, we take it into our life. Receiving him as our wonderful counselor. He is going to lead you and guide your life. Man, take receiving him into your life as a mighty God that can do the impossible when everyone else says it's impossible. Receiving him into your life to say, he is my everlasting Father, that this is a gift that doesn't leave me or forsake me. This is a gift that cares about every detail of my life, both big and small. And that this gift, I take it with me, not that I won't have chaos, and not that I won't have tough times, but I can have peace in the midst of it. Because I received this gift into my life, and he goes with me wherever I go. I think for us, Christian Lifestyle, Christian Life Center comes down to, here's the gift, God's offered it to you, it's now our choice, do you want the gift of Jesus in your life? And let me say it this way, what I love about the gift of Jesus, for all of us, whether you're a new Christian or been doing this for 50 years, what I love about it is, no matter what you do, you can't earn it. No matter what you do, you can't do enough things to make it happen. The gift is always there, waiting and willing for you to receive it. It's a gift simply by the grace of God, because he loves you. He looked down on us, and he was moved, and he realized they need a gift. They need a Savior. And so he gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. And we as a church is something that we should be full of gratitude with, full of thankfulness this season, that we have a gift of a wonderful counselor. We have the gift of a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace, and it is yours for the taking. And the reality is this, church, he did his part. He did his part. And he gave us the best gift ever. And now it comes down to us. Do we want that hope? Do we want that assurance in our lives? We have to receive it. And let me tell you, encourage you, the beautiful thing of this gift is nothing can separate us from him. Nothing can separate you from this gift. Nothing can overcome this gift, because Jesus is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. And he's worthy of our praise this morning. Would you stand with me, Lord Jesus? We celebrate you in this place. We come into this house and we thank you for the gift of Jesus this Christmas. We thank you, God, that we don't do life arbitrarily. We don't do life alone, but that, Lord, there's a gift waiting for us to receive this year. A gift that says, I want to lead you. I want to be your counselor. I want to do the impossible in your life. I want you to see miracles. I'm a mighty God. I don't want you to feel devalued or worthless. I want you to know I'm an everlasting Father. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And ultimately, I am your Prince of Peace. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of things seem to be crumbling around me, I can still have peace within me because I serve Jesus. And he's given me that gift this morning. Lord, help us today to receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas. We worship you.
Oh, come.
themselves in a place of chaos, there's a gift for them today. Every person that finds themselves in a place of decision, there's a gift for them today. Every person today that has a family member who maybe doesn't serve the Lord, there's a gift waiting for them today. No matter where we find ourselves in life today, or we leave this room with the gift of Jesus with us, we carry it wherever we go to offer us ultimately the peace we all need in our lives. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I do this final thing. If you're here this morning, no one's looking around between you and the Lord, but I'm going to give you this gift. It's a gift to be received. And maybe for you, the gift is simply receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Like, you need to commit your life to Him, and He's right here willing for you to take the gift that He's offering you, the gift of eternal life. And if you're in the room today, we're not going to embarrass you right where you're sitting, seated, and standing right here in this moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. But if you need to receive this gift this morning, would you just put your hand and put it back down again? I want to know I'm praying for you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. This is your opportunity. Anyone else? This is your opportunity to receive this gift. So Lord, right now we pray for you, we pray to you, and we thank you for the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Son that was given. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's our prayer today. If you're in the room today and you need to make that your prayer, just simply say, God, I receive the gift of eternal life. Would you come and be my Savior? Would you be my Counselor, my Mighty God, my Everlasting Father, my Prince of Peace? If you're there today, it's simple as that. God, you just say, come into my life. I want to serve you and I want to live for you. So now, Lord, I just pray over your people as we enter the next few days of celebrating one another, and the joy of being with friends and family, and the joy of exchanging, and the joy of all that comes with that. May we not lose focus on what it's all about. And His name is Jesus. May that be the centerpiece. May that be the true gift of Christmas 2024. We love you today. We honor you. Go before us, we pray, in all that we do, in all that we say, in Jesus' precious name. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Come on, can we get up to the Lord? Walk out of this room today encouraged that this can be a Jesus-focused Christmas, that He has so much He's offering to you. Hey, real quick before you head out, we have a prayer corner over here. If you need prayer today for anything, maybe you raised your hand today, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you did, and we have a group that'd love to just say a quick prayer with you. Go find those people. They want to pray with you. Just anything you want. We're there for that. Don't forget to grab a card, into your card, all the information about the end of the year. Christmas Eve, Tuesday, 2, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Bring a friend, bring a family member. It's going to be amazing. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.